All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the award-winning journalist, Joe McNally, all the way from Charlottesville, Virginia. And, you know, Joe, another issue that has been just by the Republicans pointed out that Joe Biden is the main reason that we have all of these people who are gathered at the border. And Joe Biden's the culprit. Nobody else this is something he created after all these decades of other presidents who didn't fix it, a Congress and a Senate who still have yet to fix it. But yet you have people call and say Donald Trump had it fixed. And Joe Biden stepped in and opened the floodgates, and it's his fault that we've got all these people at the border. Joe, you say what about that?
Considered it kind of nonsensical that somehow Donald Trump got Republicans to be so upset about immigration to America. America has always been proud of being a nation of immigrants. America, and it used to be both Republicans and Democrats, would be proud of the fact that people all over the world want to come to America because it's the most successful economy on earth, because of the rights and freedoms that we have in this country. Republicans, every 4th of July, talk about how proud they are that America is the greatest democracy in the world. And now suddenly the fact that people are trying to come to this country from very horrible situations in their own countries, that's a bad thing.
Which is
that's
how this nation
thing.
Was found. Is it's how this
exactly.
nation was found.
Exactly, which is how all of our ancestors got here. If we aren't Native Americans, we're not. You know, our predecessors came from horrible impoverished situation. Mine from Ireland, and yours from Africa against their will. It baffles me. The idea that Donald Trump did anything decent and successful to turn back people from trying to come to this country is an absurd thought. We know that he did a number of cruel things. We watched him, you know, put children in cages and rip them away from their families and send them back to horrible situations in which they were murdered in that they were fleeing for their safety, exactly the same way people have always fled their countries to America, because we were supposedly a shining, example of a better place to live. The fact of the matter, Donald Trump was always creating a fantasy that somehow you could shut down immigration into this country because people all over the world want to come here. It is true. Now, here's the big failure politically in America. And we were close to it at one point. There was at one point where both Republicans and Democrats, and ironically, the Republicans included Lindsey Graham, who we mentioned earlier, the Florida senator whose parents fled from Cuba to get here.
Yeah, Marco Rubio.
And
Ted Cruz.
Marco Rubio. Yeah, well, I don't remember Ted Cruz actually supporting immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform. It's true, though, that what you said that Ted Cruz's father came here, and there was a chance that both parties could have updated our immigration laws to allow an orderly way for people to come here, and for especially people fleeing from dangerous situations. But Republicans now refuse to do that, and both Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio refuse to do that, and certainly Ted Cruz has always hated that, hated doing anything about that, which is bizarre. I think that's one of those examples of someone in the Republican Party who actually knows better. You know, when you listen to Ted Cruz, you think he's an idiot. He's not. He is a very well-educated, very intelligent person. And he is pretending to be just as bad a person as exists in the Republican Party, because that attracts votes these days in the Republican Party. And that's a sick thing. That's a sick, twisted, dishonest thing. But anyway, where was I? I'm saying that it is impossible to shut down the southern border, just as it's impossible to shut down the northern border, just as it's impossible to shut down the oceans that surround America on the east and the west border. The Cuban refugees that risk their lives to leave Cuba these days and are allowed to stay in America if they get on dry land.
Yes, only the Cubans.
That's the only qualification they have to be allowed into this country, because they're fleeing another country where they don't think their lives are safe, or they are living such an impoverished existence they are attracted to the rewards that America offers. You cannot shut down immigration to the greatest democracy in the world. And Republicans are pretending that's so, because they don't want to deal with creating an orderly immigration. They don't even want to let the dreamers remain to live in America. These are babies who were brought here by their parents through no action of their own, but they grew up in America. They consider themselves Americans. Some of them are great people who are operating in this country. They finally have been allowed to get educations, to get college educations as a result of the DREAM Act, which quit trying to deport these children who have lived all of their lives in America and are just as American as you and I are.
And you know what else, Joe? There's also, like this story in today's USA Today, El Paso, Texas, a man accused of pointing a gun at migrants trying to stay warm outside of an El Paso, yeah, Texas church, allegedly said he was, yeah, doing it for America. He was, yeah, doing it, yeah, for America. I mean, we've got people from this nation who are mistreating those people.
We had, speaking of El Paso, there was a man who traveled to El Paso to murder Latinos in a Walmart in El Paso, because he hated them and didn't want them in America. He didn't know where they came from or anything else. He just murdered some Latinos in El Paso because maybe they might have come from across the border. It is absurd. It is absurd to promote that kind of hatred against immigration. We know that there are 11 million immigrants in this country, many of them Latino, but other from other countries as well, who are here illegally. They came here illegally. They have worked all their lives illegally, paying taxes to America. Not only that, but creating companies and creating jobs in America. Many of the immigrants in America are actually more entrepreneurial and do more to create jobs in this country than native-born Americans do. It's a fact. You know, some of the greatest countries, the greatest companies that have been created in this country have been created by immigrants. And That is good for America. It is good to have bright people come to this country who want to get ahead and want to work hard to get ahead. The fact that they start out at very menial jobs in this country because we are so discriminatory against black and brown people doesn't mean that many of them do not rise to great heights and create a lot of jobs in America.
You know, Jacob from Eureka, Bill, we'll come to you. We've got to go to a break. I don't want to. We only got a couple of minutes, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk with Joe. But you know, Joe, when there, and this guy is not alone. When he thought he was doing this kind of, you know, saving America, where did he get this from, right? I mean, what's in the minds of a person who takes it upon themselves, some sick guy who has been led to believe that the people who come here at the border are all criminals and fentanyl dealers, right? That's what many of the Republicans have led people to believe, that all the drugs are coming in from Mexico, the fentanyl, and everybody coming has COVID, and they're killing the American people. And there are people who want to believe that stuff, Joe.
There are people that do believe that stuff. The fact that Donald Trump spent billions of dollars on a worthless wall, building a worthless wall, you know, the people importing fentanyl into this country are not coming across that wall. They are coming. They are driving into America in trucks and cars that are, you know, that we can barely. So many come across the border in legal transportation that are unchecked because we have agents running around a wall to try to make sure no one climbs over it instead of paying any attention to the people driving the drugs into America.
No,
that is absurd. It is just absurd.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. Jacob, Bill, hang on. We'll come to you right after the break. Joe McNally, my good friend, is on the line. We'll be right back.
I made this money, you didn't, right, Ted? We out of here. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My host is the award-winning journalist Joe McNally, all the way from Charlottesville, Virginia. Let's go to the phone lines. And Jacob from Eureka, California. Hey, good morning, Jacob. How you doing?
Ago, you know, why do all these crazy conservatives think everybody from south of the border is a criminal? Well, because they're conservative cult leader, Donald the Traitor Trump, told them when he announced his presidential run in 2015 that he was going to stop anybody from coming across the border with a wall, because anybody from Mexico, according to Donald Trump, is a rapist or a criminal. And, of course, it's Donald Trump himself
or a drug
dealer. Rapist and a criminal or a drug dealer. Yeah. And speaking of drugs, how about Donald Trump Jr.? Just saying. You know, Donald Trump, this guy is on trial with the E. Jean Carroll situation. Apparently, E. Jean Carroll has a blue dress. So we'll see how that trial goes for Donald Trump. Speaking of rape, Donald Trump, apparently you're the rapist, Trump. And speaking of south of the border, I don't know why people who live in states like, for instance, Wisconsin are so afraid of what's going on, you know, at the border when you're a couple thousand miles away. When you got, for instance, in Illinois just yesterday passed a ban on assault weapons in their state. Why won't Wisconsin do the same thing? I mean, after all, what happened there with Kyle Rittenhouse, that crazy conservative who came in with a assault weapon and murdered people. Do you want that to continue in Wisconsin? I think, usually I'm not saying you should follow, you know, what happens in Illinois, but they did a good thing in Illinois yesterday by banning assault weapons.
Hey, Jacob, man, thank you as always. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Joe, before you answer that, let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Bill. How you doing? Thank you for the call. You say what?
Thanks for having somebody like Joel on the air with you. He really gave an eloquent description of the border. But if we're worried about borders, let's ask Ron DeSantis, and he better be honest, how many illegal people are coming up on his beaches? The number is not small. It's huge. But he doesn't even talk about it. Why? Well, are they going to put a wall around all of Florida? That would be interesting. Boy, you talk about a crisis. But here's the bottom line. Republicans want to play victim. There are a bunch of kids that don't get their way, and when they don't get their way, they take the game board and throw it in the air and scream victim. The FBI, CIA, Pentagon, the armed forces, I can go on and on and on. They're all out to get them. Well, here's a fact. When Donald Trump came to run for president, many people said, we can't let this happen. Why? Because they knew about the 11 bankruptcies. They knew about the 26 sexual assaults. They knew that Scotland, the country, was suing him. We didn't need a man like that. He had no integrity to begin with. Of course we were out to stop him. Why would we want a man with that low of integrity, no diplomacy, no honesty, be our supreme leader? You've got to be kidding me. But remember, every time they talk to you, they're a victim. Thanks for your time, and thanks for all the great things
Bill,
you guys
Bill,
do.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's, Joe?
You guys, really, who's called in. I'm glad that Jacob mentioned this assault weapons. That is, we talk in Wisconsin and always have about how hard it is to pass anything about guns because people hunt. That's absurd. Of course it's absurd. And everyone knows it. Now that the assault weapons have moved directly into elementary schools and high schools, that's why the youngest voters in America, every 2 years there's an election, every 2 years there are more of those young voters. And they are the ones that have been leading this drive against assault weapons. They are the ones that after the shooting in the Florida, in that Florida Marjorie whatever the name is, high school.
Right, Marjorie Taylor Greene, that's
nation,
right.
Not Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh,
yeah, that's the Marjorie we always hear. That's what I started to say.
Marjorie Taylor, it's Marjorie Taylor something, but anyway, go ahead.
The fact is, young voters know how absurd it is to allow assault weapons in their schools. They really do. They're the ones who have had to go through that and hide from it and go through active shooter drills throughout their school careers. It's the same way that they don't understand the absolute ugly cruelty towards LGBTQ Americans that Republicans are now, unleashing on young people as they're trying to figure out their sexual identities, and just turn outright hatred towards those people, just like they did towards African Americans and Black and Brown Americans throughout. Donald Trump, as someone just mentioned, he certainly made racial hatred more toxic in America, but he sure didn't invent it. It's been a election tactic, racism, open racism, ever since Richard Nixon turned the party of Lincoln into the party of racism to attract white Southern racist who objected to the Democratic Party under Lyndon Johnson supporting Civil Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act to give equal voting to all Americans, regardless of race. You know, they used to use code words, and what Trump did was put it right out in the open. He put the racism right out in the open.
Joe, hang on.
And they can't deny it anymore.
Joe, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. My guest is Joe McNally. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Joe McNally. You know, Joe, what are your thoughts about where we're headed with Ukraine and the fact that we're now going to bring, you know, Ukrainian soldiers over here to be trained how to use the weaponry, advanced weaponry that we're now getting them? Do you have any thoughts about whether or not we are digging ourselves deeper into this, or what are your thoughts?
Well, basically, what my thoughts have always been is so far so good. So you know, this is a dangerous situation, and it has been from the start. But as a matter of fact, Joe Biden, I think this is one of the things we can be most proud of. From Joe Biden in the first 2 years of his presidency. He did some amazing things domestically to restore all the jobs that had been lost in this country as a result of the Trump presidency and the pandemic that he denied and lied to the American people about, even at times when he knew how deadly it was. And he kept pretending it was going to just go away any time. His Republican compatriots made it even more deadly by discouraging people from getting vaccinated, which was just an insane policy, which killed their own voters, because we know the elderly voters are more easily duped by Trump than younger voters, and that was just cruel. It was just ugly. But you know, we've always known that Biden had a lot of respect around the world, as well as was supported in this country as just a stable leader for our country. And what he has done worldwide to keep the democracies of the world united against Russia, led by a madman, at a time when many of those countries really did have to depend on Russia for energy and for gasoline, and you know, you would have been surprised if you had predicted at the start of the war that Republicans that Russia would even still be on the ropes in Ukraine. It was expected that Russia was going to win that war within weeks, and it was written all over the place that that's exactly what was going to happen. And here it is, you know, January, a year later, and they not only have they failed, but increasingly, Vladimir Putin, Trump's best friend in the world, you know, is really it's we know that dictators are hard to dislodge, but when dictators also are destroying their own country through just crazy acts, such as trying to militarily invade another sovereign country, that when it starts hurting them at home, their job, we aren't going to know what it's going to take to remove Vladimir Putin from Russia until it happens. I was in college when Nikita Khrushchev was running the Soviet Union. And I had a course in college on communism. This was taught by an Eastern European professor who had fled Eastern Europe when the Soviet Union took over his country. And he was an extreme anti-communist professor. Okay, one day, we had heard about how Nikita Khrushchev was unshakable, that he couldn't be thrown out of that country because his power was absolute. That's what he'd been teaching us all semester. And one day, a guy came into our class late and said, "I just heard that Nikita Khrushchev got overthrown." And the professors, he didn't like the guy coming in late, and he didn't like what he said. He actually spent the rest of the class telling us why that could not be true. And, of course, the next class, he had to tell us why he was so wrong. And I've always remembered that. We aren't going to know when Vladimir Putin gets defeated in Russia until he does. And so far, this country and Joe Biden has led that perfectly, gradually increasing and holding together the coalition of worldwide democracies to make it happen. So far, I'm confident.
You know, Joel, there clearly is pushback from a segment of the Republicans that
is there ever? The House would love to destroy that. You know that the House Republicans boycotted Zelensky's speech to the Congress. They did not show up. Only a few of them did. We had Mitch McConnell and senators there who basically even talked about continuing America's support for Ukraine.
So Joe, what do you
and how important that was?
What do you think the purpose of the Republicans who are anti that support? What do you think their purpose is?
Following Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin is Donald Trump's biggest supporter in the world.
Yes.
He was the biggest supporter in the world of Vladimir Putin. He tried to get him into a organization of worldwide democracies that had dispelled him. He was an advocate for Vladimir Putin. And in fact, as everyone knows, when Russia and Vladimir Putin invaded the independent country of Ukraine, Donald Trump called him a genius, a political genius, and expressed admiration for him again. And we also know that the first impeachment of Donald Trump was trying to extort Zelensky into conducting a fake investigation into Joe Biden. We're talking about a former president of the United States who is a worldwide criminal as well as a criminal who is being prosecuted and will be prosecuted, I predict, in this country.
You know, Joe, when you look at why Donald Trump was in such a great relationship with Vladimir Putin, it was because Donald Trump had burned the bridges of the banking industry here in America. And he had to go elsewhere, and so
and he basically admired the man. He congratulated him on winning elections that were fraudulent. That was the president he wanted to be in America. And on January 6, 2021, he tried to make it happen again. He tried to make it happen in America the same way it had happened in Russia. This is the man who is still, so far, the leading candidate for the Republican nomination in 2 years.
So, Joel, you just stole my thunder.
You said we were compadres.
I was just getting ready to ask you about how, in the face of all of these things, there are still these 30% or more of people who, in the face of all those things, still support Donald Trump. And even though the other side of the Republican Party that is clearly divided is pushing for Ron DeSantis as if, you know, well, Ron DeSantis is a sanitized Donald Trump, but they clearly want
not
the policies.
Not very sanitized.
I know. You and I know he's not. But that's what they say, he's sanitized. But Donald Trump is not going away. And it doesn't matter whether the Republican Party, which really kowtowed to Donald Trump and let him control things. I haven't forgotten the way he talked about little Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham.
They somehow forgot.
And Mitch McConnell. You know, I mean, come on. And yet they, even to this point, the people who still support and believe in Donald Trump, if he doesn't get the nomination, you know he's going to turn on them. There's no question he's going to do that. So when you have somebody as envious and hateful as Donald Trump, and yet people see all of that, they see that his walls of proverbial walls of Jericho are tumbling down, and yet there's something about him. He has controlled these people's minds, and they'll never say no to him.
I think you're right. And you know what? The whole explanation. If you want to ask me how that could be,
yes, how can that be?
I can't quite explain how it could be, except to say this: we've always been told that we weren't supposed to say that Republicans were stupid, and we weren't supposed to say Republicans were all racist. Well, I have to say things right out loud, and I consider that what you just described to be both stupid and rooted again in racial hatred as well as just hatred of Democrats and Joe Biden. The biggest difference, the real ideological difference that has happened between the two parties, and I think it's fascinating, and it's why I remain optimistic about America. The biggest difference that has happened between the two parties it's not that, you know. Here's what I want to point to. When you look at voting demographics, it used to be that Republican voters often had better educations than Democrats.
Well, it's certainly flipped.
We know why that. We know. It has flipped, and you know why it's flipped. It's flipped because of the civil rights laws because housing laws have changed, you know, as a result of the civil rights movement, and you know, now suburbs around major cities are very racially diverse. I never thought I would say that about the suburbs around Milwaukee, but they are, and now they are voting very similarly to the cities. The cities and the suburbs are becoming more Democratic, and the voters for the Democrats are becoming better educated because they now, poor people and racial minorities who once were excluded from college educations are no longer. And that is one of the great victories of the civil rights movement. Unfortunately, that's where all the growth in the population is in the cities and the suburbs.
So,
the population of rural America, I have to say, is in small towns and rural areas is diminishing.
Joe, we've got
their children are leaving to go to the cities.
Joe, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. My guest has been Joe McNally. Okay, Joe, before we get out of here, your thoughts on Joe Biden maybe running again, because there clearly are Democrats, especially some progressives, who don't want to see him run again. And they think that, he clearly is too old. It doesn't matter, as you see, he is. One thing for certain about Joe Biden is he is a guy who you shouldn't count out, because he clearly is up to the job. Even though you hear people say he's not, he's certainly been able to accomplish some things that many of us would have never thought he would be at this advanced time in his life. He's continuing to keep up with the rigors of being the most powerful man on the planet. What do you say to people, Joel, who say he shouldn't run anymore?
Well, one of the things they say is I'm hearing a lot less of that lately because of the success of Democrats,
right,
in the midterm. But the success in the midterms, that was what prompted all of those media stories about, is this guy too old, and are there Democrats that are unhappy about how old he is, and all that. This coming year will be the determining factor, of course, and you know that he couldn't announce that he wasn't going to run for re-election. But now, because of the success in the midterms, there's probably even less of a chance that there will
be
a rebellion within the party against him. It will determine entirely up to his, be determined entirely up to his health and own decision about whether he wants to run again. And in fact, because the Republicans in this coming year are going to be trying to destroy the economy, we know the House Republicans are. They've said so. And they all are going to be doing a lot of very repellent things in the House that are going to drive more voters away from the Republican Party. I think there's less of a chance that Democrats will see it as a necessary requirement as long as Joe Biden is up to the job to replace him.
Hey, Joe, we're going to squeeze.
I think that's temporarily over.
We're going to squeeze a last caller. And who do we have on the line, Connor?
Sure.
Just put him on. Who do we have
on
the
Jacob
line?
From Eureka.
Oh, Jacob. Hey, Jacob, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, I just wanted to add one more thing about these racist Republicans constantly hating on Latinos and immigrants. I mean, let's keep it real. Billy Bob from the trailer park is not going to give up his SSI check to go pick tomatoes out in the fields. I mean, the fact is, we like to eat here in America, and the agricultural industry does not pay enough for, most American citizens to want those jobs. So nobody's stealing anybody's jobs for the most part, coming across the border. They're the people picking the food that you eat. So you think you might want to treat them with at least some dignity and some respect, conservatives. You know, I've had it with the racism from the Republican Party. It's disgusting. It's dim-witted. And as far as I'm concerned, every last Republican politician should get lost.
Hey, Jacob, man, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. You know, Joe, in these last few minutes that we have together, what should we? You're the cockeyed optimist, and the more we watch this train wreck, what are your thoughts about how we can overcome this, if at all?
Historically, we were supposed to lose. The Democrats were supposed to lose, and they didn't. Not only that, they maintained strength, and they added strength in the Senate. Now, we know that the election in 2 years is there are a lot of Democrats up for election, many more than Republicans. It's balanced to be a bad election year for Democrats. But we have accomplished more in 2 years than most presidencies accomplish in eight. We are going to go into the next election with the Republican Party still in disarray and still controlled by ugly, ugly people. I refuse to think that that is a bad situation to go into, especially with the demographics of the country changing. And I think that just like no one's expected us to do well in the midterms, no one might be expecting an incumbent successful president to do well in the next presidential election. But I would say that things are pushed very much more favorably towards the Democratic Party and people who want to protect democracy. The women of America and any man who loves a woman in America are going to still be fighting against a Republican Supreme Court, which is going to be doing ugly, ugly things still to perpetuate their ugly movement to destroy democracy for all the women of America and the way they can control their lives, just like men do in this country.
You know, Joe. Go ahead. Finish your point.
That's why I am a cockeyed optimist.
So the chances, because the states are so jerry-rigged, we can't expect to see that change for, you know, maybe another decade.
But here's the thing. The reason why the House is run by crazy people is gerrymandering and corruption. But every governor, every senator, and the president of the United States, they, in their elections, they have to win statewide. And that's why you're getting surprising results in Kansas and states like that, that no one, South Carolina's Supreme Court just legalized abortion. Imagine that. When they have to win statewide, they can't be controlled by corruption the way they are in the House. And that's why we might have a much better chance in the next election than we did very well in the midterms anyway, even with all that corruption in the House.
Hey, Joe,
and
man.
Here's what we got.
Joe, thank you as always, my friend. Really appreciate it. I'll be in touch. Tell the wife I said hello.
You bet. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Bye-bye. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Connor. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.